On Air with Douglas, where fans are connected to their favorite celebrities. And now, here's your host, Douglas.
All right, everybody. Hello, welcome to On Air with Douglas. This is your host, Doug. Today is Thursday, January 9th. It's our second show of the year. This is actually almost our 300th show, so what other way better to celebrate that than to have some amazing guests on tonight? First off, I want to thank everybody who has been tweeting like crazy about the Thirst Kickstarter program, by the way. We're really working hard over here on that. There's 48 hours left, and if you go to thirstfilm.com and click on Kickstarter, you can donate anything you got, $1, $10, $9, wherever you want to donate. We want to try to get this met before the next 48 hours. So without further ado, let's mention who we have on the show today. We have the director, Rachel McDonald. Welcome, Rachel.
Hello. Thank you, Doug. Thanks for having us.
Of course. No, not a problem. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. We're happy to be here, and thank you for all the great promotion of our Kickstarter.
Oh, no problem. We're going to make it. Whatever I do, I'll even go on the street corner and sell myself. I'll do whatever it takes to get this. I would only make $1.99 anyway, so it's okay. All right, and then we have the two stars from Thirst. We have Josh Pence. Welcome, Josh.
Hi, thank you very much for having us.
No problem. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you all, actually, you know, to coordinate all this together. And, of course, the one and only Gail Harrell. Welcome, Gail.
Hello, how are you, Douglas? Thank you for having us. We're very happy to be here.
You're welcome. Thank you for that accent. That's awesome. All right.
So that's how we really talk all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If I can say a few words, they come out different every time. I can't help it.
All right. That's perfect.
Intimidating and confusing.
Oh, that's okay. I'll just go with the flow. I'll let you just be whoever you want to be. So, Rachel, for those that are listening that are not familiar with the project and the film and these people that are on with us, tell us a little bit about the film and how it came to be.
Sure. Thirst is a short film. We're calling it a modern fable. And it's a story that follows a young man played by Josh Pence, Billy, who's struggling with his own addictions and some emotional battles. And he finds temporary work in a derelict bar. And he's just confronted with a really disturbing potential future. And I guess this film just takes an unconventional approach to telling a story about addiction. And without telling too much, because it's only a 25-minute film, it just shows the audience the pain and hopelessness that comes from lives that are afflicted with addiction. And we have some incredible, incredible performances with this phenomenal cast, as you can imagine, and they just brought so much to helping us tell a really powerful story. So that's a little bit about it.
Oh, okay. Now, how about, you know, getting together a cast for this project? You know, you got both Josh and Gail and some others, and you got Melody Griffith, who I haven't seen for a long time. So how did she get part of this project?
Yeah. We had a really incredible casting director, Anya O'Hare, who really did a fantastic job of getting our script out to the cast that we were very interested in, and we were lucky enough to cast everyone that we had intended for the role. So we got very lucky. As far as Melanie, Anya got her the script through her agent, and we were so amazed at how quickly she got back to us. She read the script within a day or two, took a meeting with us, with the writer and myself. We told her about the project, what it meant to us, and she jumped right on board. And it was pretty much the same way with everyone involved. I think the script that was so beautifully written by Michael Albanese just resonated with a lot of people. So that's kind of how our cast came together.
Oh, okay. I'm really excited because you guys just released the trailer, I think it was last week. So, you know, we now got a little glimpse of what's to come. And you say it's a 25-minute short film. Pending that, you know, once you get the rest of the funding done, you know, when will this be, you know, for us fans to be able to view it, to see it?
Well, we're hitting the festival circuit, so we're hoping that you'll be able to see it in a film festival very soon. I can't really say which, you know, just yet, but hopefully sometime this summer.
Oh, that'd be great. Well, if it's anywhere near LA, I'll definitely come and support you and come and see it, because that would be fantastic. Definitely.
We'll do some screenings as well around Los Angeles and New York, so we'll definitely keep you posted on those.
That is perfect. Awesome. So, Josh, tell me a little bit without, you know, like I said, we can't give away too much, but tell me a little bit about your character and what your interpretation of the character is.
Sure. Sorry, hold on one second. I'm just dropping my dog off. I apologize. I have to get to the airport. Okay, living life. You know, Billy is somebody that I think is kind of mired in his own mess, so to speak. He's definitely drowning in his addiction, but I think more than that, I think really often, though addiction is a disease, many addictions are diseases. It's sort of the underlying factors that are leading to that need to be dealt with, and he sort of cut himself off from the world. So, you know, I think when you approach a character like that, you're just, for me, it's tapping into my own experience with that and my own tendency to kind of want to isolate at times, and I think Billy's in that place where he needs a community, and he's really, really desperate to find somebody that he can connect to, and I think that's, you know, he comes to this bar because he's in need of work. There are definitely practical elements, but when you see him in this realm and in this atmosphere, he is definitely dealing with the need to connect to people, and you see that through his interactions with Melanie's character and with Gail's character. In both cases, you know, he is in judgment of, very much so, of the people around him. He doesn't think that he's like them, you know, and he sort of looks down on them. And there's a very interesting scene that Gail and I had together that was, you know, fun to shoot and work on together. And I mean, everything on this happened very quickly for me. I got cast 4 days out of us going to camera, so I had sort of a minimal interaction, but I had the pleasure of sitting down with Gail and with Melanie and getting to know them, and it was really a wonderful time.
Okay.
And I just wanted to add to what Josh was talking about, if I may quickly, just about his relationship with the patrons in the bar. There's also just a beautiful relationship that evolved between his character and Melanie's that brings on some more empathy that develops throughout the film.
Yeah, you can see that. You can see that from the trailer too. Just a brief glimpse there of the bond that they have.
So their chemistry is really magnificent on screen. It's incredible.
Yeah,
it was really fun too. I think you never know how anything's going to happen until the day. And I'm sure we've all experienced that from in front of and behind the camera. It's sort of, things just kind of happen. And I think she and I really connected on screen and off screen as actors, as people. And I think that just kind of funnels into this relationship that is about a lot more than any kind of physical need or, you know, there's a very deep-seated emotional connection there, and it's sort of interesting to watch it develop. It'd be fun to play with it more, honestly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I definitely can't wait to see you, because I recall you being part of the Social Network, and we didn't get to see much of your face. So
yeah,
you know, I can't wait.
The man behind the mask. Yes.
The man behind the mask. So it's gonna be kind of nice to see a little bit of a different view of you per se. Now, Gail, what? Tell us a little bit about your character in Thirst.
My character John comes into the bar where Billy's working and seems to be perhaps a regular or someone with something going on inside that room that's not just about drinking.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it seems to me. As a device, I think he's very effective, and that's what excited me about what Michael had written, because I think everybody personally or family or friend know how easy it is to get lost, no matter where you get lost.
Mm-hmm.
And to watch, you know, what Josh was saying, trying to connect. The young man, he's struggling to find some place. And as good writing does, his place that he finds, he thinks a way out, is in the middle of where he should not be, you know,
mm-hmm.
theoretically. And that idea that he's trying to connect while simultaneously separating himself internally from what's going on around him.
Mm-hmm.
John, my character, he's sort of, what would you call him? He's sort of like, he's sort of a philosophical counterpoint. And you're not really sure why he's saying the things that he's saying. They're so pointed, they seem very direct, almost as if
he's
knows more about Philly. He's a messenger, yeah. He's sort of he's the eagle of death metal. No, he's not. He does say things that seem to be coming from a special perspective. And he confronts Billy in sort of a throwaway way,
mm-hmm.
and just reacts to things that come, I mean, very neutral things that comes out of, you know, Billy's mouth. And why would he respond the way that he does?
Mm-hmm.
For me, that's fascinating because it's somewhat Greek, you know. He's the chorus there. He's saying things that don't make sense. They do make sense. They're before and after the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Very confrontational. I don't know. Is he a pimp? Is he a drug dealer? Is he a DAA officer? Who knows? What's he doing there?
Yeah.
But that's kind of how I see it.
Yeah, he's very prophetic in the way he speaks to Billy, and it's really interesting the way that it played out between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting too because I think Billy's projected on him right off the bat in the beginning of this interaction. They have, you know, he's kind of that Gale's character is not like everybody else in there, and he kind of tries to establish this rapport, and that we are the normal ones. You're surrounded by all these kind of bizarros, and he's very quick, Gale's character, to point out, John, that, you know, he's like, well, you know. He kind of calls Billy out right away. He's like, "Well, what are you? Are you normal? Like, really? We're all here for a reason." And
mm-hmm.
and I think it's at that point that Billy kind of realizes that, you know, it's sort of a bit of a wake up call, and that he is in there for a reason. And I think it opens him up to truly experience that whole chapter of his life in a way, and kind of begin to change. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, I cannot wait to see the final product, and so many people have been tweeting, you know, questions and such. And I just want to read a couple questions. One is for you, Rachel. What is your opinion of the deepest meaning of the word thirst?
Sorry, it cut out. I couldn't hear it.
That's okay.
Can you repeat the question,
okay.
please?
Yeah,
I think
no problem.
Gale was sneezing or blowing his nose. I'm not, Gale, can you? What was my interpretation of the word thirst?
Yes.
It's really interesting. Thirst, the title for this film, it really evolved over the last year, and I think that thirst just means so many things, especially when it comes to addiction. There's a longing for something, a need. You think there's this feeling of a need for something to quench something, that thirst. And the actual title was inspired by a song that a friend of mine who passed away almost 2 years ago now, Evan Bliss, wrote a song called Thirsty, and it actually
mm-hmm.
deals with addiction. And it's a beautiful track, and so I was listening to that song while we were throwing around titles for the film, and it just seemed very appropriate.
And who was it by?
His name's Evan Bliss, B-L-I-S-S.
Okay.
And the song
is that available on iTunes or something for fans to listen to?
It is.
Okay.
It is on iTunes, yes. Please check it out.
Definitely check it out, for sure. Okay, and that was from @Evie9Seconds, by the way. And I just want to let you guys know, I've been doing this show for 2 years. I've had almost 300 different celebrities on from all kinds of different genres. And this is the most international show I've had because we have people listening from Finland, Greece, Spain, Portugal, Italy, Canada, Wales, New Zealand, Australia, and Mexico. And, of course, United States. So,
that's amazing.
They are either getting up early or staying up late, setting their alarms. They've all been very excited about this. So,
thank you all so much for listening.
Very cool. Yeah, thank you for tuning in.
So, I just am, like, overwhelmed because I've never had such a diverse listeners before. You know, normally it's just, you know, us here in the States. So thank you also, everybody out there, for listening. Okay, let's see. What else is next?
But I just say, touching on that, it's like, I mean, I think that speaks to how universal this is thematically. I think these kinds of very, very basic human needs transcend language and country, and it's, you know, this thirst, that need to connect with people, and the themes of addiction and loneliness and what these people are dealing with is something that everybody can relate to, no matter where you come from.
It's
kind of interesting. You know?
Yes, it's an unfortunate thing that, you know, addiction runs in my family, not myself, but it runs in my family, so I've been around it almost for 40 years, and, you know, so that, I mean, I think anybody and everybody, just like you said, can be like 6 degrees of separation away from somebody who's had to experience it, so so this is going to hit home to a lot of people, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, and I think, too, for me as an actor, a storyteller, and probably for Rachel and Gail, I don't speak for you guys, but I think for a lot of us, we make part of the beauty of film to me is being able to connect with an audience and have people share a common experience, and then it brings us all closer together because we don't feel so alone.
Go ahead, Rachel.
Absolutely. I feel the same way. And just to further what you were saying, Douglas, we found, even with our crew, we had such an incredible casting crew on this film, and I couldn't believe how many people personally came up to me from the crew and on the cast and said, you know, that they had a personal story, that they had a family member or a friend that was afflicted with addiction, and and how this script really resonated with them, which is so nice and rewarding to work on a project where everyone feels like they're telling a story that's important. I just thought that was fantastic.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, maybe fantastic is the right word, because it's very sad, but I think it's fantastic that we were all working together to tell a story that maybe needs to be told a little more often.
Most definitely. Yeah. Now, there's another Twitter question to anybody, any of you. It says, since the film is about the human condition, what would they consider their extremes? This is from Elaine. Thank you, Elaine.
Interesting. Can you?
I'm not sure exactly what that meant. I just read it. It says, since the film is about the human condition, what would they consider their extremes? So I'm not sure.
Huh. What, like, that the characters mean? Or us?
I believe the characters. Or it could be, you know, they're asking, you know, the actual, you
well,
know, you yourself.
I mean, I think one of the extremes, just, I mean, in kind of circling back to your question about the title, too, and I think it relates to this question as well, is that, you know, the extreme, like, thirst to me is, it's a need, it's a craving, but it comes from, you know, like dry, like when I think of thirst, I think of like dry mouth, you know, dry, arid, lack of life. So maybe like on one end, that extreme would just be the total absence of that, you know, sustenance, liquid water, life. So I think in one sense, it is interesting because I think for me, with what I look at Billy is he is so thirsty in a sense. He's also kind of drowning in another, and he's kind of on this cusp, this precipice of life and death. He's very much confronting his own mortality, but I think it's the other side of that. You know, there's sort of this dualistic nature of wanting to live so much, you know, so it's like there's this extreme of wanting to end his life, and then this extreme of feeling so, this just deep burning need to live, you know, that it's like, it's very, 'cause, you know, and that's how life is. I think we strive to find this, or I do anyway, as I get older, middle ground that's a little more moderate. But at this point in his life, and like many of us do, we go through these times where we're really testing extremes, where we go from totally dry to drowning in something the next minute, and finding everywhere in between.
Okay. That's a very good answer. And she just happened to pop up with another question, so this is for Gail. Ask Gail how his writing is. He's been working on screenplays. I was curious how it's going for him, and tell him we all miss him.
Okay. I miss them too. For me, as far as this project is concerned, and writing, I think getting to know Michael, he and I met by happenstance years ago in a kind of a similar situation that takes place in the script itself, and I'll let that reveal itself as time passes. But working on the idea that the title of the film sort of raises thirst, like Josh was saying, you know, you're dry, you're arid, but you need something more, and then you take on what you need that you think that you need, and that sort of makes it worse. I mean, there's a really simple metaphor for that. You wake up with a hangover, right? Why do you have a hangover? Because you've exhausted all of your body's ability to replenish yourself, because all the alcohol that's gone through your bloodstream and all the air that's passing in and out of you. And I think that if to kind of go back to the other question and bring in the extreme part, I think part of what John is doing there is to kind of remind Billy that once you're in a certain state, that's where you are potentially forever. And there's, you can be thirsty for some way to forget about your problems, and it's another irony of the state. You may be lonely, you may be miserable, you may be sad, you may be heartbroken, and you want something to make that better, but you can substitute something making that better by taking something that's going to make it worse. But then you get on that wheel, and you can't get off. And in an odd way, John is sort of, he's in a very crass way, he's identifying the state by acknowledging how bad it is. Very dark, you know. And as far as writing goes, just trying to find a way to bring that through. I think that Michael has set that up in a very clear way. And because, of course, it's a short film, it's somewhat minimal, and it has to be very economical. But he's got Billy trapped in such a place that every angle that he tries to turn further compounds where he is, pushes him in some very, very extreme directions. So for writing, for me, that's exciting and very fulfilling to be around. Mm-hmm. And then as it kind of sticks with you, and you wake up in the morning 2 weeks later and you're having thoughts about the conversations that your characters were having, and suddenly they're absolutely relevant to what you're going through in that instant. It goes back to what another thing that Josh was saying, you know, we're here to tell stories, but we're here to tell the truth and share something. There's a bit of an oracle aspect to it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that answers the question, but
I'm sure it does. Rachel, did you want to input anything right there?
I'm sorry?
Oh, did you want to add anything to there? I didn't know if you were starting to say something or not.
Oh, no.
Okay. And then another question for Harold, Gail Harold, says, would you mind asking Gail if he does anything else art-related, like painting or sketching or anything within the arts?
If I do related what? Sorry?
Art-related, like anything that she like was talking about, painting, sketching, anything like that art-related.
I burn books. No, I don't. I studied photography and printmaking and spent a lot of time etching and screen printing. I don't do that anymore.
Paper airplanes.
Paper airplanes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Paper airplanes laced with razor blades thrown off of tall buildings. No, I'm a fan. I'm an observer of traditional and not so human style art, and I won't really tell you what that is, but I don't create too much besides trying to be a somewhat convincing performer at the moment.
Yeah. Just to give the audience, how this interview came about, I recently thought I'd pull out my Queer as Folk box set, and I watched the whole 5 seasons right back to back, and I literally just finished watching the finale just a few minutes before the show. And I've been on the air for 2 years, and I thought, why? I've had all kinds of celebrities on. I said, why don't I go reach out and see what the cast of Queer Folk is up to? So for fans that are listening, not only do we have Gail today, I've got 2 reunion shows coming up, one with Michelle and Thea, who played Melanie and Lindsay. That's going to be coming up this month, and also with Scott and Peter, who played Emmett and Ted. So for all you Queer as Folk fans, be sure to tune in to onairdose.com for those up there that are out there that are fans. Before we end, I just wanted to definitely tell you, Gail, that you are part of one of the best television shows of all times. That was such a groundbreaking ahead of itself. That was over 13 years ago when it started, and that film, that show now, I wonder what it would have been like, now with social media and with the way that the LGBT community has moved on to having like 14 states, I think, now that allow it. And things are so different now than it was back in 2000. So I just want to tell you, I'm so glad that you were, part of such a groundbreaking show, and that you entered all of our lives, every week on that show. And I didn't realize until social media, bringing up this show today, how obsessed the fans are. They still are. All these years later, they're still watching it. There's fan fiction going on about what happens after the show. And I didn't realize all this existed out there. And so what's it been like for you? Because I'm sure you get stopped or you get noticed a lot. How is this? How has that community been like to you?
First of all, thank you for the kind words, and I'm glad you're going to be speaking to some of the other people that were involved. It was intense initially. I was really inspired by the original show that Russell T. Davies had made, and with Aidan Gillen's performance as the character that my character was based on, and I really never thought that it would be possible to do something like that in the United States. But we did accomplish something, I think, and for the duration of making it, I kind of went in and out of being able to even understand what was going on, because it took its own life, and I think I should have known that, and I was very, very nervous about representing other people's existence and their lives and going so deep into a place where a lot of people had suffered a lot, died, been beaten, hurt, had to deal with a legal system that was not very, very kind to them. And we can look at Russia right now and see it in its extreme. So a lot of people that I think connected to what we were trying to do were relieved on some level to be able to see themselves presented as a valid part of life as it is. And it's sort of unusual to have to say that, because we're all human beings and we deserve to live and to live the way that we want to live, regardless of what anyone else thinks about what we feel life is. But I've never personally experienced that intensity as a kid growing up. I had to my friends, but not directly personally. And so, without making this an epic answer,
go ahead.
I think that it took me some time after the show was over to really be able to take a step back and begin to really be proud of what we had done, because the intensity of the response was a little bit discombobulating, you know?
Yeah.
It was euphoric, and it was incredibly fun and really challenging, and the relationships that I made with the people that I was working with are some of the most important relationships in my life, and will be until the day I die.
Mm-hmm.
But it was hard to put it into perspective for me, you know? And I'm like probably grappling with 30% of the intensity of some of the other actors that we were working with, what they were going through. So I think that, you know, kind of to answer your question, this response and the impact that it's had on people is a result of people being able to see a version of their own life or a mirror for things that they were going through that, for better or worse, wasn't allowed to be acknowledged.
Yeah.
And sometimes we got it right and sometimes we got it wrong, but I think for the men, we did good work. And I'm very happy that we were able to, you know, ratify some people's ideas, maybe to encourage them, to inspire them, to make them angry, angry at us or the ideas that we were trying to put across. Because, you know, as an actor, you're just telling a story of another person. And that project specifically, I was trying to tell things for people that were vast and varied, some of which I could relate to directly, some of which I couldn't. And I'm just glad that that we were able to make it through and that it has sustained some of that original energy.
Yeah, and it sure has. Like I said, I literally just finished the series finale, and I only saw it, that series finale, the day it aired. Watching it all these years later for the first time is like watching it for the first time because it's been so long. And that final scene was with you just dancing all by yourself. And I got to tell you, just to be honest, I was just bawling. Like, I was just crying because I was like, I had forgotten the intensity of that relationship between Brian and Justin. So you did such a great job. So I'm very, just wanted to throw that out there. I'm sure you get that a lot, but I just wanted to be, as a fan myself, just you did such a great job. And I've also followed your other films since then. And I'm just like, with Thirst, you're such a diverse actor that you can do it all. And one more question before we get back to Thirst is from somebody. David wants to say, ask Gail what it was like working on Desperate Housewives. I'm thirsty for the answer. It's Thirsty Thursday. He says it's Thirsty Thursday.
It was fun. It was really fun. It was a completely different world for me to be in. And that was, in an odd way, one of the most unusual things I had done, because it was a format and a style that I wasn't used to. I can tell you that the first time that I saw Kyle MacLachlan, I almost lost my mind, because Blue Velvet destroyed my brain in the best of ways. And I saw that on the big screen when it was released, and I just couldn't believe that I was in the same room with him. And then we were talking to each other as real people, and then we were playing scene, and my knees were knocking. So I think, when I think about Desperate Housewives, that's the thing that I always think about first, you know?
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
So,
that is so cool.
That is awesome. Go ahead, Rachel.
Oh, I was just going to comment on, Douglas, you were saying about just touching on Queer as Folk and the fans, and we've really been so humbled by Gil's fan base all over the world, and he's such devoted fans, and it's for a good reason. He's a super, super talented actor, and all of our actors were so giving of themselves and really just went to all lengths to play the roles and bring so much to the characters. You know, these characters just evolved in front of our eyes on set. They became so much more than how they were even written. And so we're very thankful for that, for all of Gail's fans and Josh's fans and Melanie's fans and everyone that's just been backing our little passion project.
Yeah, I mean, it's you got quite a crew there, and it's going to be, you know, once it hits the circuit, you know, the festival circuit, you're going to be, I guarantee, awards and everything is going to be coming your way, because it's just, I mean, without seeing it, just by the energy around it, and with speaking with each of you, it's going to be big. And now with some short films, you know, this is just foreshadowing some short films. I watched one called Dare one time. It was a 15-minute short film, and then it ended up becoming a full movie. Is that something that you mm-hmm. could do in the future, perhaps?
It is definitely something that we have talked about. Michael, the writer, and I have definitely thrown around the idea. We have another feature film in development that we've been working on, but we've gotten so involved in Thirst and really consumed by it that it's definitely something that's on our radar and that we're considering putting into a feature-length script.
Okay, that's fantastic. So, Josh, besides Thirst, is there anything that we can look forward to seeing you in 2014?
Yeah, I have a movie coming out April 11th called Draft Day, and it's a really neat story. It's 8 hours on the day of the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. It stars Kevin Costner, Jennifer Garner, Dennis Leary, Frank Langella, Ellen Burstyn, and it's basically I play the projected number one draft pick of the 2014 NFL draft, the Heisman-winning quarterback from Wisconsin, and Kevin Costner's character is the GM of the Cleveland Browns, and he's kind of trying to decide how he's going to assemble his, you know, draftees and team for the upcoming season. And a lot, you know, there's a lot of hype around my character. Is he the next Elway? Da 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 da. So, you know, he's sort of trying to figure out amid the din of draft day what he's going to do and who he's going to pick. So mm-hmm. it's a really cool movie and very fun sports movie. But even if you're not like a huge football fan, you'll enjoy it. So.
Oh, okay. When I was doing some research, you know, for the show, and are you part of the new Muppets movie, too? Do you have a scene or something to do with the
new
Muppets?
No, I'm not. I don't know. I heard somebody asking it before, too, and I don't know. I mean, I wish I was. I love the Muppets.
I do, too. I just happen to see that. It's on either IMDb or Wikipedia or something like that. I can't remember where I saw that. I was like,
know. Maybe people think I have a predilection for being faceless characters, and why not just continue on and be a Muppet?
Stop.
I mean, well, you did an outstanding job, you know, as Armin's other half in the social network.
Thank you. Yeah.
Tough
job. Somebody had to do it.
Exactly.
He's full. There's a lot of Josh Penn's face in Thirst, though, and I think everyone will be really excited to see him.
We want to
make it up for a lot of time.
We want to see that for sure. And speaking of the social network, I mean, what was it even like being part of that? Because that was such a huge movie based on, you know, the biggest social network out there. So what was it even like to be part of that?
It was an amazing experience. I'm so incredibly, incredibly grateful for that whole experience. I think it was looked a little different than I had expected it to, you know? Mm-hmm. I knew once we started working on it what my position on the film was. I was not under any other thought about it, but I think it was a great lesson. I mean, it's funny, I ended up working a year or two later with Nick Nolte on this movie called Gangster Squad, and one of the things that he would talk to me about over and over again was the importance of working off camera. Your work as an actor off camera is 50% of your work as an actor, period. And it is equally, if not more important than what you do on camera, because you are eliciting a reaction from the person who is on camera. So mm-hmm. if the person on camera has to act, in a sense, my failure as his fellow actor for not giving him something new or exciting or, you know, provocative off camera. And I think you know, when he said that to me, I really realized that that's exactly what I was doing for 10 months working on The Social Network, was I was providing, you know, I was creating a character. And, you know, the amazing thing, if you get a chance, you should watch the behind the scenes on that, because it was a documentary that Fincher had decided to make prior to us even beginning principal photography. So it's really in depth. And, you know, we created the twins together every step of the way. We had doubles of every outfit. We had to know both lines for both characters. And, you know, we'd shoot every scene as both characters, just switching back and forth. It's a pretty wild story. But it's definitely humbling. But it was really exciting. I was going to work every day, and I felt incredibly grateful, but also incredibly spoiled.
Yeah.
But it was the kind of thing where you're going in every day, and you just know that something special is happening because everybody is just so focused. And not that people aren't having fun. People had a lot of fun, but everybody wants to do their best from the below the line, above the line. Every single person is working their butts off. And that's a pretty, I'll never forget it. It changed my life. And I always felt like it was the last thing, if something ever happened to me and I was the last thing I ever did, I'd be super proud of the work that I did, and to help create sort of a kind of time capsule of society at that moment.
Yeah. Whether people are even on social networks like Twitter, Facebook, or Google or anything like that, I think the film itself, take out that element, I think the film itself is so, so amazing. I just thought it was just fantastic. So, and I have the Blu-ray of it, so I'm going to have to go watch the special feature.
Oh, really? When you get a chance, Douglas, you really should. I think, and anybody out there who's interested in filmmaking, beyond selfishly seeing more of what I did in it, I think it's just super cool because, you get to sit in the rehearsal room with not only the actors, but David Fincher and Aaron Sorkin as they're batting back and forth over words and lines and actions and, pages and scenes and everything and down to, Trent Reznor's score and how he created various instruments for the whole thing, the Swarmatron. And, it's super just inspiring, I think, for anybody who's interested in film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Trent Reznor album was phenomenal. I mean, I listened to that almost every other day, it seems like, when it first came out. Because it's so soothing and relaxing.
It was the first score that he ever did, too, which is incredible.
Yeah, definitely.
It's just incredible, really.
Yeah. Gail, the same question to you. Besides Thirst, is there anything that we can look forward to, anything, projects you're working, film, or anything else in 2014 so far?
I'm just beginning rehearsing a film I'm going to begin working on in the next week. I can't want to give it away, but sort of playing a kind of a jive-talking, shit-stirring disciple of Satan.
Nice.
It's the film is somewhat based on the myth of the angel and the devil. They sit on one shoulder. That's why I have a parrot with his beak taped shut. They're attempting to influence a young girl to do what they believe is the right thing that she should do given her circumstances, and it's sort of a play on morality versus right and wrong. It's sort of an anti-morality tale. That's kind of what I'm doing at the moment. And there's a film that was in that will be coming out this year. I'm not sure when. The Field of Lost Shoes is a historical period piece about the Civil War. And I got to work with one of my heroes, Jason Isaacs. It's a tragic and compelling bit of our country's history that's not the most comfortable thing to get historically, what was going on, but I was tickled pink to work with him, and hopefully I didn't destroy the Irish dialect. I'll let you go.
go ahead.
No, that's all I have to say about that. When
you were talking about that other film, when you said like the devil disciple or something, it just gave me flashbacks to when you were in Grey's Anatomy as the swastika. You had the swastika on you in that two episodes that you were on in there. That was intense. That you did some amazing work there. That was a very intense. It was probably an intense role to play itself, but it was intense to watch too.
Yeah, it's intense to have a swastika on your chest.
Yeah.
That's as big as a dinner plate. It doesn't make you feel good about yourself, but you just have to be that person, right?
Yeah, exactly. And definitely want to tell you, though The Secret Circle did not come back for a second season, that was another phenomenal show. And you were excellent in that, and I have it on DVD, or on Netflix, and I watch it all the time. I mean, I have, this is just a side note, I just get really tired of Hollywood because as you know, you get part of a film or a television show, and you get invested in these characters, and you love them, and you're there every week for them, and then they go and they either cancel it halfway through, or after a couple episodes, or after one season, and it's just really frustrating because, you know, not everybody has a Nielsen box, so it's not fair to us out there that really, you know, love these characters that, you know, that you all play every time. So that's just my little rant on that, because they keep doing it every season, every year, it seems like, and they're getting shorter and shorter. You know, shows are now 12 episodes, and, you know, it's, they cancel after two episodes. It's like, really, how do you know that that's not a good show? But anyway, that's just me. Sorry, I got off a little tangent. Well, we're going to wrap up here, but there was a question to Rachel. What got you into directing?
Oh, gosh. Well, I always knew that I wanted to tell stories, and I think I really knew that I wanted to direct on the first set I ever stepped foot on, which was Frank Darabont, who's one of my heroes and has been a mentor to me. It was his film, The Mist. And just watching him on set, and I watched him like a hawk because I was a young, doughy-eyed production assistant with a desire to get into this industry. And, yeah, just watching him and the way he worked with the cast and his crew to get his vision and to bring his story to life and to work under circumstances where things were constantly changing, and just watching his collaborative process really inspired me and drove me to fully pursue directing.
Mm-hmm. So if there's anybody out there that wants to get into that, what would their advice be?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think that directing or the film industry in general, it has there's no one path. I think everyone has a different path. I started out as a set production assistant working for the AD department, and then I worked for a few directors, and then I broke away and just started directing small music videos and small commercial spots and a documentary, and then just kept building my skills and my reel that way. But there's so many different ways. I think that my best advice would be just to, if you want to direct, to shoot, to get behind a camera and get a good story and just tell your stories. Because you have to be... I did not go to film school. I work with many people that did go to film school and people that didn't go to film school. And I think that collectively everyone's advice is just get out and shoot something. So that's what I would say.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, because there's, you know, with Kickstarter and Indiegogo and GoFundMe, there's a lot of these crowdfunding out there, and such as your film is at Kickstarter, and so many people are out there making, you know, with the advances with YouTube and with Vimeo, there's so many ways where people can just get their work out there, you know, not like back in the day, you know, where you had to go to Hollywood or to New York to get yourself seen. Now you can just do it, and your stuff, your product is out there available for everybody to see. So, and to have the fact that now we can help fund things that we are interested in, such as your product, your project, I mean, it's just amazing. And it must be overwhelming. You know, you've had two different Kickstarters, and just to see the outpouring of love from the fans, it's got to be overwhelming for you.
It's really overwhelming. It's humbling. And it it gives me hope in humanity and in people believing in the power of storytelling, which is what I feel I'm here to do. So to feel supported by complete strangers and by friends and family to help us in bringing our vision to life and to telling this story is really just humbling and rewarding. So appreciative of that. And these platforms are pretty incredible for people getting their work out there. And it's been great.
Yeah. Well, if you're just tuning in or if you missed the interview, I'll go ahead and repeat it again. If you go to thirstfilm.com and click on Kickstarter at the top, it'll take you to the Kickstarter program, and you can, make a minimum pledge of $1 all the way up to whatever you can afford. They have 44 hours to go. I'm sure big major love and thanks to the 67 backers that's backed this project so far. So hopefully we can get that met in the next 44 hours. So get out there and make it happen. Rachel, I want to thank you so much for putting this together, and thank your assistant as well for helping me put this together for everyone, fans of all three of you. And then Josh, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule and pet delivery or whatever it was that you were doing.
Airport, one of those days. Yeah, so, I'm an aspiring dog walker on the side too, just in case anybody's curious.
Thank you so much, Doug, for having us on. We really appreciate the support, and we're all happy to be here and talking to you.
Yeah,
no problem.
Thank you for listening, and every penny counts. We really appreciate everybody's support.
And Gail, I want to thank you too. I'm glad that you're the first of the QAF guests I'm going to have on my show. I'm really excited about getting everybody together again and just seeing where they are now. And go ahead. Oh, I heard somebody. I didn't know if somebody was trying to talk. Somebody must be talking in the background. I just wanted to say, Gail, looking at QAS is in the back now, but what do you think Brian Kinney is doing right now? Where's he at right now in life, do you think?
Oh, I think either way, way down or way, way up. Nowhere in the middle.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping he's way, way up, but have a sneaking suspicion that he might be way, way down.
That's interesting because, as I said, there's a lot of fan fiction out there, and people have taken the show and taken it to a whole new level in their own imaginations, and it's interesting, and I'm sure you've been asked this a million times. What is there ever been a talk about a reunion movie or a reunion web series or something like that to get the cast together again?
I don't think there's been anything necessarily official that I've heard. Scott Lowell and I have batted around ideas here and there. We came up with some pretty good theories.
Yeah.
But I think it's more just hindsight and loving the time that we were there and missing working with the people that we worked with. And we all kind of fell in love with our characters. And, yeah, I would like to see – I would like – Kenny is. And I think we all would like to see where that world is,
Mm-hmm.
I want to find out what's going on with Debbie. It's just, who knows?
Yeah, she was something else. I bet working with Sharon was just a hoot because she's the mom we all want. All of us would love to have a mom. Well, I don't know. She's a little overbearing, but she was a mom that, coming out at a young age, we all want that kind of acceptance and love from our parents, and she did a great job.
Yeah, the mother that would wrap you up in her arms and give you a big hug and then kick your ass, but then if anyone got near you, she would kick their ass twice as hard.
Exactly.
Ideal scenario.
And I'm going to end with this one for you, Gail. If people are asking, please get on Twitter more often. They're like, they miss you on Twitter, so I just wanted to relay that message to you.
That's funny because Gail and I met on Twitter. That's so strange.
That's right.
Did you really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Fantastic. That is crazy. Now, were you, Rachel, a fan of Gail's, before? Had you met him before, or how did that happen?
No, I had not met Gail before. We dated briefly, but it was all online, so we hadn't met in person. Yes, no, I had not met Gail. I had heard many wonderful things about Gail through one of our executive producers and through Michael, and then met Gail once we started getting Thirst off the ground and attached him to the project. So, yes.
Oh, perfect.
First
all
time
right,
to work with Gail, but hopefully not the last.
Oh, definitely.
That's right.
No. Exactly. And, well, thank you all very much for being here. I'll let you all go, and I'd love to have you guys back individually or all together when the film's, ready to be out and help promote it even more. So we'll keep in touch, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone, for your support. Thank you very much, everyone that's out there and helping us. We really, really appreciate it. It means so much. There's no way we can communicate that to you.
Even those who haven't donated monetarily, every contribution, shout out on Twitter, Facebook, all of the love and support is so encouraging and just keeps us fighting the fight to get this project finished. So thank you.
You're welcome. On behalf of everybody listening, you're welcome. So
thank you.
We'll let you go. We'll let you go. Okay. You guys take care.
Have a good day.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Josh. Bye, Rachel. Bye, Doug.
Bye.
Thank you,
guys.
Bye, Josh. Bye, Rachel.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, bye. All right. Here's a little something for you guys. If it'll play, where's it at? There we go. Hope everybody enjoyed our chat today with Rachel McDonald, Josh Pence, and Gail Harold. Be sure to go to thirstfilm.com for all the information and click on Kickstarter if you can donate. And follow Thirst Short Film on Twitter for all the information, via Twitter as well. And you can find them on Facebook if you search for Thirst Film. All right. Go to onairwithdouglas.com for all the latest. And also right here at Blog Talk Radio, you can see all the archives. And thank you so much for listening. This has been a dream come true to have the opportunity to talk to Gail and also Josh and Rachel. So with that being said, we'll see you on social media. I'll see you at On Air with Doug on Twitter, and you can go to On Air with Douglas on Facebook. So with that being said, we're out.
Thanks for listening to tonight's show. Be sure to see what's coming up next at www.onairwithdouglas.com. With over 240 shows in the archive, take a look around and listen to all the great guests you missed. Follow the show on Twitter at On Air with Doug and at JBrooklyn44. Until next time, have a great night.